Howdy, folks, and welcome to the Moose Podcast number 504. What do I take to an air-to-air or up in the air, part three? Hey, I love hearing from so many of you this past week. Thanks ever so much. Some of you have done some incredibly great jobs sharing your images. Didn't make a list, but I was really just tickled pink how many of you shared your stories and made sure I knew about it. That's killer, killer. Keep it up, folks. Keep it up. Great stuff. Just thrilled to death to see it. So thanks so much. It kind of was a topper for a mighty fine week for us here at WRP. Sharon and I kept pinching ourselves with all our good fortune. You are a big part of it. So thank you. Let's keep the ball rolling and have another great week this week. This episode of the Moose Podcast is being recorded using Adobe Podcast Beta. Yep, still using it. Still works. Have made some changes. No one said a word, so I don't know if it's good or bad. I'm just going to keep making the tweaks and see what happens. Now, it creates the transcript that you'll find there on the blog post on moosepeterson.com for the podcast, along with any links for things I talk about, as well as also a photograph to illustrate my points. So it's all there at moosepeterson.com, but you can look at it and listen to the podcast and transcript like on Spotify and YouTube, and then iTunes has it, Amazon, a lot of places you like. There it is. And if you want to have a conversation, hey, you can reach me in many places, Spotify, YouTube, or like a lot of you guys did this past week, the link there on the podcast blog post. So thanks so much. So a number of things happened this past week. Some of you folks started using the Nick discount code, which is cool. That's 15%. The code is MOOSE. Moose. excuse me. I posted the gallery for our trip in Ecuador. That brought in a couple questions. I will be going back. It was a spectacular trip. You can see the gallery there at moosepeterson.com. Scroll down all the way to the bottom. You'll see a 9-image little icon. Click on it. It takes you to the galleries for all my adventures. I also posted the Moose Shooting Report for Ecuador. I can't say it enough. I didn't make up those common names, man. Somebody else did. And some are tongue twisters, but it's cool. And yeah, the birds are off the chart on another level, crazy color. And I'll say it once, I said a million times. I'm blown away how those birds with all those colors go into the forest and they disappear. You would think with all those incredible colors, you'd be able to track them. Hell no. It's just absolutely amazing. Also, there is some new items on the Moose Doodad list that I keep updating. I got a new book, like I mentioned last week, that I've started. It's a pretty good read. I've learned some things, so hopefully I'll have it done. And we're going to talk about it a little more in depth next week. I want to thank my good friends at Bedford, bedfords.com. Yeah, you hear about this every week. You're probably going, oh, he's going to talk about it. But yeah, I can't stop talking about Bedford's, my good friends. Like their photo expo coming up in, 45 days or so. They're in Little Rock. That's just way cool. No matter the manufacturer, they've got the latest and greatest for them all. And right now, there's a trade-in and trade-up deal going with Nikon. There's rebates. And this is already on top of their amazing pricing. Their huge inventory, 7 stores takes a lot of stock, so they can take care of you. And whether you go into one of the stores personally, give them a phone call, go to the website, and you make sure you use the old MOOSE when you check out, because you'll see money in your pocket afterwards. That's I think it's good for everything, but I don't know about used gear. I keep forgetting to ask. No one's ever said anything about that. I know it's no good for their classes. There's no discount on their classes. They're already dirt cheap as it is. So you need some great stuff. I'm here to tell you, Bedford's is the place to head. So thank you, Bedford's, for sponsoring the Moose Podcast. What gear do I take to an air-to-air? Boy, you guys, yeah, you filled my email box with that question, you gearhead junkies, you. Then I wasn't going to leave you out and wasn't going to ignore that, but I wanted to take the full time of a podcast to explain. Now, when I go to an air-to-air shoot, so I'm going knowing it's going to happen or just going to show up hoping it happens. To me, it's one and the same. Like I mentioned before, there's a big, big percentage where we don't fly. Mechanical, weather, whatever. But I go prepared. So what is going prepared? So I use the Think Tank Advantage Plus. That's my gears in. The gear I have with me, the Nikon Z9 and the Z7200-282. That's primary air-to-air. That's what I use, I'm going to say 100% of the time as my primary when I'm shooting air-to-air right now. That's it. Next, I have the Z8 with its small rig plate and the Z24-70F2.82. That's my primary, like, statics and some detail shots and pilot portrait. And it has a plate on it, so if I can do some of my static work either before or after the shoot, because when I do an air-to-air shoot, I don't just do air-to-air. I do the whole package. We'll get into that. Then I have the Z14-24 2.8, and I have that for one specific reason, and that's photographing the instrument panel, which is really a must when you're doing any kind of editorial work on aircraft. So I need the 14, and then I also will have my Profoto A10 in large part to A if I need to do it for portraits. And if you want to know how I do pilot portraits, there is that class on Kelby 1, which I should mention, I have a new class on Kelby 1 on Editorial Marketplace, just a little sideline, beep, beep. So I'm going to have that flash for the portraits and then for lighting the instrument panel. There's very few times where I've been able to like really bounce light off of a hangar door into a cockpit, so I will make sure I have that. And the last thing I'm going to have is the Z51.2, which is really, I use that for a lot of the static shooting I do at 1.2. I just love the feel that it brings to the photograph. And when sometimes you do detail shots, that background you want gone, 1.2 makes it gone. So that's the primary gear. The ZR, I should mention, is in there as well. And whenever possible, I have the 28-135 PZ lens, which I do not own. I rent it or get it loaned from Nikon Professional Service, NPS. Those times when I really have the highest percentage possible that we're going to fly this. Nothing's going to scrub the mission. Now, I talked about the harness. I had a lot of people ask about harness. The harness I use is 15 years old or so. It's no longer available. Now, you don't want to get your basic, I'm going to clip into a forklift kind of safety harness. You want, if you're going to really do this, you want to invest one time in a great harness that so you don't do an Arnold. You don't know what an Arnold is, you're going to go back and listen to a previous podcast, either part one or two. Yeah, you can get some really good ones at Amazon. But if you really are going to do it, and if I were to do it again all over, because the harness I have cost somewhere around the $240 mark when I got it years back. If I was going to do it now, I know at least two people who've gone to a parachute harness shop. And those guys use the same basic technology for making a parachute harness, but made a harness for the for a photographer. Yeah, it's probably going to cost you $500-$600, you know, but we're talking about safety gear here, right? I mean, period. We're talking about safety gear. So that's what I would recommend. I've checked. It's no longer on the market. I have a helmet, which is a cloth helmet, which holds my David Clark headset to my head so I don't do that one mistake over again. And that's the basic equipment. Now, I do have a flight suit. They call it just PJs or pajamas, pilots do. And I have black, because it won't cause any reflections on the inside glass in case I need to shoot through any glass, which happens every so often. And if it's all black, you can't see it, which works really well. I do have the red gloves that you'll find on my doodad list. And then I have the elastic sleeves that I put over everything. So my clothing on my forearm and up my bicep, if it gets caught in the slipstream, doesn't start flapping around, and that will cause the camera, of course, to vibrate. So that's the basic gear. Now, when I get myself in the plane, the majority of the time I've got the giant Petzl carabiner, which you'll find on the doodad list. And it's hooked into a spot usually under the pilot's seat. And the pigtail for my harness goes to that. So I can't, my knees to my feet could actually get out of the plane. My rest of my body, it's stuck inside. I have the Z9 with the 7202 on a strap around my neck. And at times I will have the ZR with another strap on the floor that's sitting behind the pilot, and it's not anywhere near the door or any doors. Okay, so big question. Two, one about bodies. You guys want to know about bodies, and two, about lenses. So why do I use the Z9? Well, I like the weight. Now, the Z8 with the grip is physically bigger, but it's just not, the center of gravity is not the same. Don't know why. So I like the Z9. The Z9, it just, for my hands with the gloves, it's just a solid fit. 20 frames per second is a must. There are times where I just lay down the hammer when I see the great background out of the corner of my eye, and I just keep shooting, knowing that I'm going to pass that background and I want it. I'm going to take the frames to do it in that 20 frames per second. There's all this motion going on between the photo platform and the subject aircraft. So that's 20 frames per second. Can you do less? Well, back in the day, when I started out with a D3X, it was shooting 5 frames per second. So yeah, you can. You just have to be very cognizant of what's going on. You need to, you know, back then you're always wondering about the buffer and the card and so much going on. And today it's almost like, I don't want to say easy peasy, but there's so many less things that have to be on your mind. Buffer, card space. Yeah, the pro grade 1.6 terabyte and the Z9 takes care of everything. It just keeps on going. The buffer, does it fill? If it does, I don't know it. I'm waiting for it, which is all that matters. Excuse me. My apologies. Almost through allergy season. Thank goodness. Now it comes to the lens. Had a lot of people ask about, is 7200 the lens? First of all, the makes me nervous. It's not the lens. It's the lens I prefer. And I really love the 7200 2.82. It is, especially for air-to-airs, just a nicer lens to use. You know, first of all, you got that whole tripod foot collar assembly comes off, so you have a clean, very clean barrel. It just is physically lighter. I really like that part. It's probably why it bounces so well, the Z9 for me. And it rocks. Prior to this, I used just the Z7200 2.8. Prior to that, on the D5 and D6, I used the 70-200 f4. Why the F4, not 2.8? I'll explain in a minute. Before that, was the 80 to 400 VR2. So here's the big thing, okay? And this is me doing my kind of shooting. When you start, you're in shutter speed priority. So you are selecting the shutter speed. The camera is selecting the aperture for the right exposure. And if you're shooting at 1/40, which is what I do, that means that lens has to close down to get the right exposure for such a slow shutter speed, because all that light, it's got all that time to hit the sensor. So it's got to get through a little hole. Now, the 80 to 400, it went out down to f32 and f45. So shooting at a 40th, no problemo. Soon as I got to a 2.8 model, so I had a shot maybe one or two areas with 7200 2.8 F mount. I instantly saw it going to F22, and then I get that slow shutter speed, and the aperture would start blinking at me, saying it needs to go down further because too much light's getting in. That's an issue. So then I went to the 7200 F4, which closes down to F32, solve that problem. Now I'm back to the Z, okay, and I'm using 40th a second, and that F22 will start blinking at me. So the way I'm solving it nowadays is I'm just simply lowering the ISO. That's not a problem with quality. It's a no-brainer anymore. So that is my current solution. F32, F45, I'm at that range a lot because of that 1/40th a second. Now, as the sun goes down, of course, it's not so much of an issue. If you're photographing multiple aircraft, not just one, but two or three, you'd be surprised how quickly they start getting out of focus, A, because of the motion to each other, and two, depth of focus. So that f-stop makes a deal, a big deal. That brings up another lens that a lot of photographers use. I've used it, especially in the f-mount. I use it a few times, especially on the ZR. And that's the 24-120 f4. Since it starts at f4, it goes down to f32 and further. So it works really well. Now, why one lens over another? Biggest thing has to do with safety. The further two aircraft are from each other in a formation, the safer it is in case something happens. So knock on wood, nothing's ever happened. I don't want anything to happen. But when you keep a distance, that distance gives pilots and planes someplace to go and safely deal with whatever the issue is. If it's too close, that could cause a problem. The other thing is, as you get a plane closer, if you want to get wingtip to wingtip in the viewfinder, you go wider and wider. And as you go wider and wider, you start to distort to some extent the shape of the wings and their dihedral, other things that make that particular aircraft that aircraft. So I want to keep all the lines true to themselves. So the longer lens allows me to do those two important things. Keep the shape of the plane true to itself and safety factor. Now there's one third and very important reason why I use a longer lens, and that is, yes, you guessed it, the background. Background's everything. Background is everything. Like I had a friend this past weekend when I was doing the air-to-air said, you always manage to find the clouds. And it's because I have a long lens. I have a narrow angle of view. I can find a little cloud out there, and because I have a narrow angle of view, it's going to look bigger in the viewfinder. You can just do the, you know, a simple test yourself. Go outside and point your 24 millimeter up at the sky and with only one cloud and point your 200. In that scenario, which cloud's going to be bigger with which focal length? So that's why I'm using the longer lens. And basically, that's it for gear. I keep it simple, stupid. There's so many balls you're juggling otherwise. Adding more to it, along with safety and everything else, excuse me, just makes no logical sense. I'm trying to keep it simple, stupid, so I come back safe. And that's it. That's how I do it. That's the gear I take to an air-to-air or up in the air, part 3. You folks have a great week. I look forward to talking with you all some more. Make some great shots. Keep up the sharing. Great job, guys. You take care. And remember to make every click your story.